This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Yesterday, President Trump made a statement in response to fierce criticism of his comments in Helsinki.
So I'll begin by stating that I have full faith and support for America's great intelligence agencies, always had. And I have felt very strongly that while Russia's actions had no impact at all on the outcome of the election, let me be totally clear in saying that, and I've said this many times, I accept our intelligence community's conclusion that Russia's meddling in the 2016 election took place. Could be other people also.
That last line, could be other people also, kind of undercut the clarification. That's partly why top Republicans offered a counterpoint to the president, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I think the Russians need to know that there are a lot of us who fully understand what happened in 2016, and it really better not happen again in 2018.
Is this a turning point for the Republican Party? We asked, and you answered. We'll hear some of your responses after you hear this.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Bloom with three O's. Is your 401k on pace? Go to bloom401k.com/NPR for a smarter, simpler way to grow your 401k. Bloom does all the work for you so you can relax, then retire. See how your 401k stacks up in minutes. Enter your employer-held 401k login info at bloom401k.com and get a free analysis. Use code NPR to get 1 month managed free.
Did you know you can set your Amazon Echo to give you the news every morning? Just say, enable up first. Then tomorrow, say, what's the news? And start your day with up first.
We reached out to a number of sitting Republican lawmakers to appear today, including Senators Tom Cotton, Rand Paul, and Bob Corker, who have had mixed things to say on the president's comments. A number of them declined, others did not get back to us, but those invitations still stand. Joining us in studio to discuss this is Angie Drobnik-Holin, editor at the fact-checking website PolitiFact. Angie, welcome to 1A.
Thank you for having me.
Also here in studio is Mona Charon, a syndicated columnist and a senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Mona, welcome.
Thank you.
And joining us from Los Angeles is Giano Caldwell, a Republican strategist, founder of Caldwell Strategic Consulting, and a Fox News political analyst. Giano, glad to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me back.
Angie, let me start with you. A quick fact check of the president's statement, particularly that last part, could be other people. Is there any evidence that other actors were involved, particularly based on what the intelligence community says happened with the election?
No, there's not. Trump says this. He's very much alone in saying this. The intelligence community has put together a great deal of evidence pointing toward Russian interference. And congressional committees that are led by Republicans have found much the same thing. This mentioning of it could be other people seems aimed at confusing the issue. And I think what this press conference revealed this week is that on the facts and on the evidence, Trump is somewhat standing alone among his own party. The other Republicans in Congress, Republicans who work in the intelligence community, except that Russia interfered with the election, tried to influence it through a variety of means, and nobody is questioning that or casting doubt on it. Trump, sometimes he says he gets it, other times he says he doesn't.
The president also sought to clarify another contentious remark. Here's another part of what he said.
It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. And the sentence should have been, and I thought it would be maybe a little bit unclear on the transcript or unclear on the actual video. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative. So you can put that in, and I think that probably clarifies things pretty good by itself.
another part of President Trump's clarification from yesterday. Giano Caldwell, what did you think of that clarification? Did that clarify things pretty good by itself or pretty well by itself?
Is that a real question? Because certainly it didn't. You know, when I think about the statement he made in general and saying that President Putin gave a strong and powerful defense to the Russian hacking, saying that he didn't do it, in addition to saying, hey, he's offered a good deal by saying, let's put our both our intelligence services together and figure out who did it. That to me suggests that you were saying that you didn't believe Russia hacked the elections. So to say a clarifying point on would and wouldn't isn't satisfactory in my mind. And to most people, it won't be satisfactory. So I was very disappointed by such a weak response in what's supposed to be a clarification when everyone knew what was truly meant when he had that press conference.
Mona Charon, what did you think of that clarification?
It was laughable. In the long history of presidents have declared comments to be inoperative in the past. In the Nixon administration, there have been all kinds of walkbacks in the history of misstatements. But this was clearly something that had been written out for him, that he read from a piece of paper and even edited a little bit as he was going. And it would not surprise me if, as in the case in Charlottesville, where again, he was sort of propped up in front of cameras and asked to retract some of his more inflammatory statements, that lasted all of about 16 hours. And then that was all he could take. He went out again and said that he had really meant his initial remarks. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that.
Yeah, you're talking about the prepared remarks that he read, I guess it was over the weekend.
That's right.
After what happened in Charlottesville. And then he gave a news conference in the lobby of Trump Tower where he basically said there were good people both sides and doubled down on what he said
originally. Yes.
Here is part of what General Michael Hayden, who's former director of the CIA and NSA, said on CNN just this morning.
What you had was, frankly, a hostage video with the president under duress, saying what he had to say to meet the needs of the people who off camera were making demands.
General Michael Hayden speaking on CNN. Giano, what about that characterization, a hostage video?
Yeah, I don't know about that, so I can't agree with that. I do recognize the fact that there's some people who, although it was a horrible performance, I thought it made our country look fairly weak. Certainly something I wouldn't expect to see out of any American president. But there are some people, no matter what he does or says, will have something particularly negative to say, like calling it treasonous, which it wasn't treasonous. It was just horrible in general, a horrible performance by American president. So I disagree with that characterization. I think there are comments that can be made, especially for folks who think that Vladimir Putin has something on President Trump. If they believed that in the beginning, they probably believe it really more so now. If there's folks that didn't believe it, this may have cast some doubt over them, considering, you know, this is a president who's always talked about former presidents appearing weak on world stages. And that was something certainly that if it had been another president, would have been eviscerated by what we saw. So it's just one of those interesting dynamics, which I don't know where we go from here.
Ronnie in Maryland is on the line. Hey, Ronnie, what's on your mind?
Hello. I was just wondering, whether you're on the left or right, why hasn't anybody just come out and say what Trump is, which is a compulsive liar?
Why does that word make a difference for you, Ronnie, using the L word?
Because it states what it actually is. He just distracts from what everybody knows, from one nightmare to the next with more lies, and it's a snowball that never stops happening. And as the snowball rolls down the hill, everybody forgot what happens at the top of the hill, the middle part of the hill, the bottom of the hill. Now it's out into the middle of the field, and it just keeps going and going and going. And it seems like whether the right or the left, it's always about losing votes where somewhat nobody will take an actual stand.
Ronnie, I'll put that to Angie, but I'm curious whether or not you are a Trump supporter. Did you vote for Donald Trump this time around?
I could not vote for either candidate, which being an American citizen, I am embarrassed to say, but I did not. It, for me, was this the best that the greatest country on the face of the earth has to offer was Trump or Hillary Clinton, and I could not make that choice.
Gotcha. All right, Ronnie, I appreciate the question. Thanks for calling in. Angie, what do you think about that? Why we're not using the L word?
This is a question we get from people a lot. I think for some people, they have a serious opposition to Trump. They have an emotional reaction of opposition. And I think they believe that if he's called a liar, that somehow that will make a difference. As a journalist, we point out the inaccuracies of what Trump says, knowing that politicians can say accurate things one day and inaccurate things another. But I think this goes to the frustration that some people have with Trump's record of inaccurate remarks.
The Suriname tweeted, "Why do we continue to allow this man to lie about everything? He claims he's always had the utmost respect for our intelligence agencies and that presser, but every other day he attacks them." Mona Charon, the statement he gave yesterday stretched credulity, to say the least, particularly that was the only thing that he thought needed correction of everything he said in Helsinki. What about that L word that some people want to hear more?
You know, I agree that he has traduced the truth now for a year and a half or longer, probably for his entire career. But for me, that wasn't the big issue this week. For me, the big issue was that he is so out of step with this country and with the Republican Party as it used to be, about his basic moral approach to the world, his unwillingness to see that Putin, a killer, an enemy of the United States, somebody who arrests journalists, kills journalists, et cetera, poisons people in the UK, that he is not morally outraged by Putin and his invasion of other countries and on and on and on. For him, it's all about how Putin treats him and whether Putin is nice to him. And that is the approach, not of a world leader, but of an insecure seventh grader. And so that, it seems to me, is what the focus, the tremendous moral abdication was that we saw this week, is that Trump is utterly incapable of seeing beyond his own nose.
Angie, we should also note that the president repeated his insistence that there was no collusion at all with Russia. We need to clarify this word collusion. And in the last few days, the conversation, it seems, has focused more on the difference between collusion and interference. Can you talk us through that a little bit?
Right. So the basic debate here is that Russia interfered with the election. They were trying to oppose Hillary Clinton and support Donald Trump. The charge of collusion is the question of whether anyone in the Trump campaign cooperated with these Russian efforts. And Trump keeps saying, "No collusion, no collusion." It seems like that's what the special prosecutor, Robert Mueller, is investigating. So I think the question of collusion is not answered yet. Now, we've heard some people say, well, collusion is not illegal. And we've done some reporting around this. There's no statute that says you may not collude. But there are laws that say foreign nationals cannot provide anything of value to candidates or campaigns in U.S. elections. And influence, Facebook ads, communications that are paid for would be included in that. So it is possible that crimes were committed, but we just don't know yet. It seems to be what Mueller's looking at.
Let's keep going on the phones now. In Talent, Oregon, Derek is on the line. Hey, Derek, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
While Trump is reprehensible, and I certainly believe he's a liar, the howls of apoplectic rage that every Trump move generates from both the media as well as those who oppose him is, I have to say, it's intolerable. I feel like we're burying some of the bigger stories, like the fact that with their demonstrated record of lying to the American people, and like, why is the intelligence community getting a pass here, you know, when they routinely lie to Congress and the people? And it's, you know, when you look at what the evidence around meddling in the election that Russia did, it basically boils down to a troll factory and some spearfishing activities. And so you know, the indictments will never see that evidence. Will, you know, those people will never be indicted. So I feel like, yeah, we don't want to normalize Trump, but we're really missing the bigger story in some ways.
I want to make sure I'm clear, Derek. When you say the indictments will never see those indictments against those people, who are you referring to, the Russians?
Yeah, the Russians.
Because the indictment that came out last week that Rod Rosenstein announced was extremely detailed. It was 29 pages. It gave names, addresses, dates, methods, procedures. It was a piece of work. It was very detailed.
Yeah, we have no evidence, Joshua, right? I mean, we don't get to see the evidence.
Well, one can't file an indictment if there is no evidence behind it. Well, wait a minute, Derek. Hold on. You can't file an indictment if there is no evidence behind it. That would be a form of professional malpractice. That would basically get you disbarred.
Just like saying that there's high confidence. As Seymour Hersh says, when the intelligence community says there's high confidence, it means we don't have squat. And that's what they told us with weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Yellow cake from Niger, you know, this stuff didn't exist. They had to meet the same standards, but what was going on? They were lying to the American people.
I want to make sure I'm hearing you right, Derek. Are you saying that you are also skeptical about the intelligence community's claims on Russia? I just want to make sure I'm not misunderstanding you.
Absolutely. I would be foolish not to be skeptical when they have a history of lying to us. James Clapper came before Senator Ron Wyden and claimed that the NSA did not hold data on American people. And we know that he came to Congress, he lied to the Senate, he lied to the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's been proven. And so I would be foolish not to be skeptical of the intelligence community's assertion. That's why Cy Hurst asserts that about the term high confidence.
I should note, Derek, I want to put your comment to Angie from PolitiFact. I should note we have spoken to both Seymour Hersh and Mr. Clapper on this program. You can hear their conversations online at the1a.org. Angie, I kind of understand where Derek's coming from in terms of his skepticism. Mm-hmm. I think skepticism in a democracy is a very healthy thing. We're not supposed to just trust our leaders blindly. However, and Derek, I know if we've parted company and you don't have a chance to respond to this, but I think Derek's wrong on a few material things that I'd like you to clear up.
Yeah, I have some sympathy, too, about being skeptical of the intelligence community and holding them to account. But in this case, the intelligence community has put together a body of evidence. State and local election officials have also seen interference, attempts to hack into election systems. Congressional committees led by the president's own party in Congress. And then finally, the private sector, the technology companies, Facebook in particular, has done its own investigation and concluded that Russians were trying to interfere in the election. So at a certain point, the body of evidence is overwhelming.
Gianno Caldwell, what's your take on Derek's call? I mean, the skepticism that he's expressing is similar to some of the skepticism we've heard from President Trump and his other surrogates. What do you make of what Derek had to say?
Well, first and foremost, the Russians did attempt to interfere in our elections. I think that is fact. I believe the intelligence community on that. However, when we do look in, and I think Derek made a good point when he talked about a number of folks have come before committees of Congress and completely and totally lied to the American people. I even think about since, you know, I'm an African-American, you may not be able to tell, but certainly there's been some targeting of leaders in our community by way of the FBI. So certainly I think there should be some skepticism when it comes to areas of law enforcement like the FBI and the intelligence agencies, because they have lied to us on a number of occasions. However, in this case, when it comes to Russian meddling, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they did attempt to hack our elections, and they had a particular candidate in mind that they wanted to win.
Mona?
I would urge Derek and other listeners to judge on the weight of the evidence. When you have all 17 U.S. intelligence agencies agreeing on something, that ought to be persuasive. Of course, you can find individuals who have misbehaved. You can find individuals who've lied to Congress, and you can
but
find
those are
mistakes.
Leaders of those agencies. So it's not just one individual.
No, sometimes that is sometimes that is the case, and we should be vigilant about that. But you know, there is this tendency on the part of those who seek to undermine confidence in all institutions to seize upon one mistake and say, you see, they're all tainted, which is what the Trump people are now doing with Peter Strzok. They're saying this invalidates the entire FBI. And frankly, to reach for another analogy, you saw it in the OJ trial where, you know, they found one bad cop and they said the whole investigation was tainted by that.
But it's not been one individual. And when we talk about the O.J. Simpson or anything like that, I'm in Los Angeles. There has been a historic, when we talk about African Americans being wrongly done by the Justice Department, by the LAPD, and police departments across the country. So we can't just say, oh, it was one individual, so therefore we can believe the whole bunch. People should be skeptical of the government in a way. I mean, I'm not saying
sure,
don't trust the government wholly.
But my point was just base your judgments on the weight of all the evidence.
And I think we should be clear. The evidence, when we're talking about these 17 intelligence agencies, just to clarify what we mean by that, the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA did the work that the Director of National Intelligence brought together on behalf of the intelligence community. So when we talk about 17 agencies, we're talking about 3 that did the legwork and 14 that agree with the legwork, that work in very different parts of the intelligence apparatus. However, I hear you on the skepticism. Pay the Coast tweeted, I'm a Republican and Trump supporter. Why is the left, after years of mistrust and disrespect of our intelligence organizations, now believing everything they say? Remember, this is the same quote-unquote intelligence that brought us evidence of WMDs in Iraq. Let's keep going on the phones with Pauline in Bowie, Maryland. Hey, Pauline, what's on your mind?
Well, as a registered Republican, I guess I'm like totally disgusted. I don't believe a word of what Trump is saying. I think he was just backpedaling. I am torn between feeling like I need to listen to all the news and wanting to turn it off. It's making me quite ill. And I think that Trump is a total disgrace to our country. I think Congress is a disgrace. I think they're not behaving like patriots and stepping up and saying something, doing something to keep this evil man from further destroying our country.
May I ask, Pauline, how you voted in 2016? Did you vote for Donald Trump?
No.
Okay, so you did not vote for him in the election. I wonder whether or not the comments he's made recently have impacted your view of him at all, whether they've made them worse or whether they're about the same.
I can't stand the man. I mean, I absolutely can't stand him. I mean, he reminds me of a wrecking ball. He's either like a wrecking ball or something. And to me, with his relationship with Putin, it reminds me of Putin being a giant puppeteer and Trump is the puppet. I mean, I absolutely can't stand him. And I think that the American public needs to step up. I hope they get out and vote in the election. I mean, that's one of the biggest problems we have is people don't go and vote. I mean, the last election, they didn't like Hillary, they didn't like Trump, and so they stayed home. I mean, now look what we've got.
When you say,
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
When you say, Pauline, that you want Congress to step up, what would you like Congress to do?
I don't know. Censure him, say something, say, I mean, there's a few that have said something. I get really annoyed about the Corker and the other ones that are leaving. I mean, I realize that they may not get reelected, but what good is that? I don't like Trump, but I'm leaving. I mean, that just, I don't know. The list of my things that are upsetting me is very long at this point.
It seems like it. And I do hear you, Pauline, on Republicans like Bob Corker of Tennessee and Jeff Flake of Arizona leaving the Senate. TX Girl tweeted, I'm confused why people are suddenly outraged by Trump. He didn't say anything he wasn't already saying prior to Helsinki. Nothing said should have been unexpected. Interesting point. We'll continue to discuss that and more as we continue our conversation with Fox News political analyst and Angie Drobnik-Holin of PolitiFact. That's just ahead. Stay close.
The following message comes from our sponsor, Capital One. Would you know if someone applied for credit using your Social Security number? If not, listen to Joe Whitchurch, head of the CreditWise app, talk about the new SSN tracker his team recently released.
While identity fraud is something everyone needs to be worried about, we want to make it easy and seamless for them to become aware of anybody attempting to use their identity without their knowledge or permission.
CreditWise is free for everyone, whether you're a Capital One customer or not. You can find CreditWise in your app or Play Store now.
Hey, it's Guy Raz here, host of the TED Radio Hour. And on our latest episode, we're exploring the causes and consequences of hatred, what makes it such a powerful force, and why some people feel its pull more deeply. Take a listen to the TED Radio Hour on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
Angie, I'd like you to respond to what TX Girl tweeted.
I think in this case, context matters tremendously. I think what he said were things that he'd said before in domestic context on the campaign trail, in rallies with his supporters. He's often talked about Hillary Clinton. He's often said contradictory things about whether he believes the U.S. Intelligence Committee. But I think what made the difference in Helsinki was that he was standing at a podium next to the Russian president. And Vladimir Putin said several things during his press conference that were demonstrably untrue, that people had given $400 million to Hillary Clinton campaign. That's not true. He said Russia never interfered in U.S. internal affairs. That's demonstrably not true.
And the $400 million, I think he was referring to people from overseas.
Exactly.
Funneling money into Hillary Clinton's campaign, which, if was true, would be a gigantic campaign finance crime.
Exactly. So the startling thing wasn't that Trump was saying new things. It's that he was standing next to the Russian leader who has a bad record on human rights and respecting the rule of law and saying these things that these very political comments about Hillary Clinton and DNC servers. I was surprised as a fact checker. I've been around 10 years and that press conference surprised me. And it was because of that context.
Let me get to a few more of your comments and then we'll dive back in on the phones. Sean emailed, "Don't be naive. All presidents lie. The biggest liar was Barack Obama with his health care plan, where he said you can keep your doctor if you want and you can keep your policy if you want. The biggest lie of all that crippled our health care system." Angie, was that a lie or was that just a political miscalculation?
Well, a couple of years ago, we named it our lie of the year. So I would say that was a huge political falsehood, saying people could keep their doctors. Now, I think Obama and his team would say that they had hoped that their policies, once enacted, would have had that effect. They would say that many people were able to keep their doctors. Some of Obama's policy people warned him that he shouldn't be saying that, but it made an appealing talking point on the campaign trail.
Gianno Caldwell, I'd love to get your reaction to what we heard from a few of the Republicans who's backed the president's performance in Finland. Here are some of the comments from Vice President Mike Pence, Senator Rand Paul, and Congressman Daryl Issa of California.
President Trump completed what he described as a direct, open, and deeply productive dialogue with President Putin in Helsinki.
And this is an extraordinary thing about President Trump that should be lauded and not belittled, is that he is willing to meet with adversaries to try to prevent us from having World War III.
I think for the president to cast doubt is appropriate. I don't
cast doubt on the U.S. intelligence community.
Cast doubt on the validity of any number of these things. That's fair. Having said that, Putin is an evil man who has killed many people in his own country.
But what the world saw, what the American people saw, is that President Donald Trump will always put the prosperity and security of America first.
Some of the comments from Vice President Mike Pence, Senator Rand Paul, and Congressman Daryl Issa. Gianno Caldwell, how do you see the support of some Republicans putting a little bit more of their weight behind the comments that President Trump made, or at least the intent of the comments that he made?
Well, I think someone like Senator Rand Paul, his comments saying the president might have had a point, I can more so believe that he believes that, considering the fact that he's been on the opposite side of issues with President Trump. He's not someone who goes in and defends absolutely everything President Trump does or says. So he, I think his comments have more weight. When it comes to Vice President Mike Pence, he's on the Trump team, so I don't expect him to say anything that's going to be contrary to what President Trump said. Others, I find it just a little bit difficult to accept some of the rationale and reasoning, considering the fact that as a statesman, as someone who is the leader of our country, when you're overseas, especially in Russia, like the Russian president, one who absolutely intended to provide a level of cyber warfare on our country and control the dynamic in terms of what leaders chosen. Now, we also must admit that President Trump told his intelligence agencies to stand down. So he's just as much a part of the problem as what President Trump did in that sense. But I certainly couldn't understand how any Republican could say anything positive or give that kind of backing when we know for a fact, had it been any other president, this would have been very problematic, especially if it was a Democratic president.
Let's get back on the phones now. Mimi in North Carolina. Hey, Mimi, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I'm a Republican, but I did not vote for Trump. However, whether he's lying or he's not lying, the fact is he's in the presidency. There's not a whole lot that we can do, and his wheelhouse is corporatism. And I think that he's running our country like a corporation. The citizens are human resources, and trade is the product. And I'm concerned that he might win the next election because we're spending a whole lot of time paying attention to media and talking about what people are saying, what people are not saying, and we're not keeping our eye on the ball, is finding a candidate that can move him out of the presidency.
Yeah, Mimi, I appreciate you calling in. Let me let Gianno Caldwell respond to that.
Well, I must say, especially when we're talking about the 2020 election, it, to me, if I'm reading the tea leaves and seeing what the Democratic messaging has been, if I'm seeing any potential candidates for president on the Democratic side, it appears to me that President Donald Trump will get reelected. In spite of a number of gaffes he's made, in spite of some untruths that have been told, people really care about pocketbook issues. And when you got a 44.5-year low of unemployment, when you got a GDP that's at 3.5% looking to be rocking by some estimates, it potentially 4.5%, at least 4% at the end of the second quarter, there's some room for people to say that he's done a great job. And for a lot of Trump supporters, that's what they care about. They care about if they're able to send their kids to college. They care about if they have more money in their pocket. We look at tax reform. We look at deregulation. Those are all principal issues. Now, some of these other things, people care, but not everyone cares so long as they have more money in their pocket. And that's usually what it comes down to.
Gianno, I want to make sure that I'm speaking for some of our more progressive listeners. What you described, I think, to a progressive would sound very mercenary. That as long as you have money in your pocket, it doesn't matter if someone is attacking the fundamentals of our democracy. I got mine. You better go get yours. Is that really what you're saying?
No, I think that that would be an inaccurate statement. I said for some people, and that's what we want to conclude here. For some people, these things matter more than anything else. You look at about the election of President Obama. Think about 2008 between him and John McCain. The part of the reason, in my opinion, he was able to win is because there was a meltdown of the economy. So people wanted a smart guy, a Harvard-trained guy who they believe was going to be smart on the issues that can get our economy back on positive footing. They didn't care particularly about some of the policies that may have social issues that he might have been concerned with. Mm-hmm. There were Republicans that voted for then Senator Obama because they thought he was going to bring the economy back to life. So in that same footing, when we talk about President Trump and what the economy is doing, those considerations still exist among a number of people.
Hey, Gianno, before we have to go, your thoughts on what this means for the future of the Republican Party, where the relationship goes from here, briefly before we're out of time?
Yeah, so I've always considered it, because you see people who support and defend President Trump no matter what he does and says, and I think that's pretty inappropriate. I view it as a party of Trump, Republican Party, and then you got conservatives. These are three individual areas of Republicans. And what do I think moving forward? There's going to be a lot of people that's going to have to make a lot of statements coming up in these midterms to see exactly where they stand on statements that President Trump has made, actions that he's taken, just like any other president.
Giano Caldwell, Republican strategist and a Fox News political analyst. Giano, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
And Angie Drobnik-Holen, editor at PolitiFact. Thank you, Angie.
Thank you for having me.
Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.